Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
And yes, I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Beautiful too.
Hey, whoa, it's the Movies Hate You show.
It is.
Indeed, right, the now. Wild Eye Radio Hour.
Oh.
Did you know that?
Branding.
Of course you know that. Branding. What's Wild Eye?
Why? What is Wild Eye?
I don't know.
I went out with a girl with a Wild Eye once.
If you go,
but
well, there was a Lazy Eye.
Lazy Eye. Right.
If you go,
well, if she was rested, it was wild.
Did it move around when she was sleeping?
You know, I don't know.
Did you look into her eyes when you made love to her?
Okay, I lied. I've never had a girlfriend before in my life.
I thought
I made
so.
It up.
I knew I'd get to the bottom of it with mm-hmm. just a couple of very superficial questions.
Yeah.
As usual, you have folded like a cheap suit.
Cheap. A cheap suit? Like a cheap accordion.
Cheap camera. You folded
camera.
Like a cheap camera.
Ah.
And a cheap suit. You ever fold a cheap suit?
Never.
You're not supposed to fold suits, that's why.
Right, right.
See,
you should
exactly.
roll them.
Supposed to roll them,
when
you put them in your luggage.
So I rolled. Maybe I rolled like a cheap suit.
I think you're rolling something. That's for sure. Hey, the Movies Hate You show, movieshateyou@gmail.com. The show about movies. The first and only show on Jackalope about movies. Isn't that right, Todd, our
it
producer?
It is.
Right, the first and only movie show on Jackalope. You
heard
me right.
First and only live radio show. We're live.
Live movie radio show. Yeah, we are live right now.
Yeah.
That's right. And you know what? Write this number down, because later we're going to take some calls. We have a very special guest tonight.
We do.
Yes, we do. But wait, no introductions. Take this number down. 310-928-7857. What is that again?
928. I don't have to call. I'm sitting here.
What?
I'm
going to make you call.
Okay, I can probably remember this.
310-928. Yes.
Something.
Yes.
Something.
Yes, you got it.
How many numbers could there be?
Four.
What? Seven? There's a seven in there?
310-928. And then?
And I'm lost.
7857.
7857.
That's right. You can call in later because we are live tonight, Tuesday evening, in the shadow of New York City, the Movies Hate You show. The show that is sometimes about movies.
Beautiful day today, by the way.
You know our sponsors at WildEyeReleasing.com?
Wild Eye Releasing. Now, tell me about Wild Eye Releasing. What is that?
Well, it's kind of like a company that puts out awesome movies.
Oh, movies.
Yeah, it's like a movie.
Ah.
Yeah, because it's a movie show.
That's what we're all about.
And it just so happens that I run that company.
Hmm. Now, is that...
a conflict of interest?
No, I was thinking synergy.
Absolutely not. It's synergy.
It is, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's actually coincidence.
Coincidence. Okay.
It's coincidence. Wouldn't you agree? You've done work for a while, huh?
It's not
you're
ironic.
Part of the why. You're like a juggalo. You know, like if you're down with Wild Eye, you're like what's the equivalent? Like an ILO, you know? Like you're an eyeball. You're an eyeball.
Ballyo.
You're an eyeball. You've curated shows with Wild
right.
Eye, you've run
right.
shows with them, you've been on adventures and signings and all kinds of stuff with Wild Eye. So you're part of the team. Although you don't get a paycheck and
right.
you never will. But, you know, you're part of the team.
Oh.
You're part of something bigger that's going on.
Bigger than money.
It's bigger than money.
I mean,
ask Todd.
I mean,
it's bigger than money doing this film stuff. Todd Sheets, our producer.
Yay!
Oh, Todd.
Hey!
Stop singing the song. I kind of
welcome here. To the movies!
It's too late.
It's too late.
Too late. Very late.
I'm trying to help out.
I'm going to introduce you.
Oh.
This person... next to me, Mr. Ree, Lee Peterson.
Hello there.
Was that your, like, George Takei agent voice?
Yeah, my radio voice. Hello.
Please, let's not do any of that stuff.
Okay, enough.
So nothing in the news, right?
Nothing in the news.
Okay, good. Because I want to get to our guest. I'm very excited. You know, you've been on the show once before, but there's something very special to talk about this time. And now earlier we were talking about coincidences, and he's someone who knows a little bit about serendipity, perhaps, coincidences.
Synchronicity?
Synchronicity, yes, that's it. And synchronicities can be good and bad, correct?
They can be.
Okay, mm-hmm. Anyway, so I want to bring on a friend, not only a friend of Wild Eye, but a friend of me personally, and a friend of yourself personally. He's an author, publisher, movie producer, paranormal investigator, and he's been at this longer than you and I have been alive.
Wow.
Yes. He goes way back.
Wow.
Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO, are you with us?
Well, you know, when I come on this show, I feel like an apple. Because you polish me up so well before I even have a word to say.
I didn't even get into... Go ahead.
It is just something that, I look forward to the phone to ring to talk to you guys. And so good evening to you all. And it's a nice evening, as you say. And we're going to talk about some very strange things, I feel, this evening. But then that's why I'm usually called upon, is to discuss stuff that's kind of out of this world.
I like that. Yes. I like the little world.
And also, too, let's remind the listeners that I'm also, in addition to being Mr. UFO, I'm also Mr. Creepo.
Mr. Creepo. And, now, that's...
Rob, you are responsible for releasing quite a number of our movies to the public, or re-releasing them. And so we're here this evening to discuss at least one of them and tie it in with some very tragic, unfortunate current events.
Yes. Now, that's... And I didn't even finish... You know, that was such a light introduction. I appreciate you complimenting me on the introduction. I didn't even mention that you've published over 250 books. You've rubbed shoulders with the likes of William Shatner and every other...
I was on his show recently. I went to Toronto, and I was on... There's a show that's on the History Channel only in Canada, not here in the United States. It's called William Shatner, Weird or What? And I went up there to discuss with him the existence of the djinn. Now, I'm not talking about the kind that you drink. I'm talking about the kind from mythology.
J-I-N-N, not G-I-N-N.
Or D-J-I-N-N, depending upon how you wish to spell it. The genie in the bottle. These very malevolent... little invisible shape-shifting creatures that are said to exist in the sand and sun of the Arab nations. It's part of their culture, just like Rob. We have discussions about ghosts and poltergeists. They would be the equivalent in the spirit realm elementals.
Now that's what movie was it? Wishmaster? Was that a djinn? Was that the horror film?
That would have been a djinn. Yes. Uh huh.
Any other films, or that was the first one to really deal with?
Oh my God! Well, I mean, we have on TV the series with Barbara Eden, except that she was a very beautiful djinn.
Oh, I see. Oh, so okay. So a genie is a variation.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay. That would be a westernized, I guess, version of it, but certainly, Arabian Nights, 101, 1001, whatever number it was.
Okay. All right. So, and what about that movie where Shaq plays the genie, the basketball player Shaq? He's a djinn. He's playing a djinn.
He's a djinn.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, so we went up there to discuss this case of a supposed alien baby that was found in a trap in Mexico that had been put into a vat of acid and killed by these Mexicans who were scared of it or something. It's a long story, but it's on the Internet. You can probably Google it and find it, although it may be blocked here in the U.S. because of contractual reasons. But, I've met Shatner a couple of times, and he's quite a character, a wonderful guy. And
is he really into this stuff, or is he just saying,
he did tell me many, many years ago. I first met him backstage at the $10,000 pyramid, that Dick Clark was the host of. And he told me this very wild story about how he was on a motorcycle one day going through the Mojave Desert, and this object appeared in the sky, and his bicycle stalled, and he pushed it in the direction of the object, and this UFO or whatever it was in the sky saved his life. Well, now people have always asked me over the years, well, do you think Bill was telling the truth? And you know what I would always say? Well, I didn't give him a lie detector test, and this was an article for one of the tabloids, I believe the Inquirer, so it wasn't really necessary. And years later, he said, oh, no, he made it up just to suit the fancy of the reporter, that being me, that he was talking to. And like most celebrities, I mean, especially Bill, when he was starting his career, you like a little bit of publicity. So if somebody asks you if you had a UFO and you want a story out of it, why would you say no? Right. And being the actor and the ham that he is, he had a good UFO story to tell, and it's been repeated many, many times in many, many places. And he kind of chuckles when he talks about it to this day, but I could chuckle at him because I, you know, was on the show and discussed the djinn. So there you go.
I'm
always busy. I'm keeping, you know, active as much as I can, and publishing new books all the time, and doing shows like this to promote them, and also just to get the information that I've gleaned over the years out to people who are interested. You know, people say, oh, why do you want people to believe in UFOs or in the paranormal? And I say, well, basically, I don't care whether people believe it or not. You know, I mean, if they don't like what I have to say, there used to be a dial. Now I guess there's some bandwidth. But that's pretty much what it is.
Where can people buy your books?
Our website is theconspiracyjournal.com, but it's easier if you just go to... Is that the police coming for us?
That's right.
That's what it is. It's the mental police. Okay.
Shatner.
I suggest they go to Amazon.com and just type in my name, Timothy Beckley, Beckley. And all these beautiful covers will magically appear, because what I do is associate my name with all of the books and the titles, even if I haven't written them, since I'm kind of the editor and the publisher. And that way people can find them very easily. And we have some great authors out there like T. Lobsink Rompa and Brad Steiger. And we cover the whole, you know, the gamut of the paranormal. And people say, do you believe in all of that? And I say, of course not. But I have two hats that I wear, or perhaps antenna. I am a researcher of the paranormal and of the UFOs, and I have my own stated beliefs, which are sometimes contradict each other and are subject to change over the course of 45 years. And then I am a publisher, and I publish books for various reasons, some because I think they are enlightening, some because I find them of interest, and some because other people will find them of interest, just like any publisher, and I don't see where that's really a conflict of paranormal information.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Providing that information.
And then, of course, let's not forget, Rob, our movies, Teenage Vampires, and one that we're re-releasing at probably a very controversial time, which is the Sandy Hook Lingerie Party Massacre, starring Debbie Rochon. And somehow I have gotten in the middle of a controversy on this.
Amazing.
What happened was, a couple of weeks ago, I got a sequence of telephone calls. One from my friend Skyler, who lives out in California and runs the West Coast 14 UFO Society, and one from Tracy Twyman, who is the author of Mind Controlled Sex Slaves of the CIA, which we published, but she's also a very well-known on the conspiracy circuit. Now, apparently, there were postings, I think at that time probably several thousand, on both David Icke's site. He's this lecturer and author over in England who believes that the Queen of England is a shape-shifting reptile.
Yep.
And Alex Jones, who, of course, everybody probably knows, and he's one of the more controversial broadcasters in America.
Screamed at Piers Morgan on right. CNN, if you don't know who he is. Yeah, the gun rights advocate, Second Amendment.
Yep. And anyway, to tell this story, if we can figure this all out here, there was a posting on both these gentlemen's site concerning my movie. Somehow they thought that it might contain clues to the shooting incident, the unfortunate incident there in Connecticut. Of course, now, my Sandy Hook lingerie party massacre took place in New Jersey.
Sandy Hook, you know, just for people who don't know, being from New Jersey and the New York area, Sandy Hook Beach is a famous, beach. It doesn't have, it's just a beach. It doesn't have any rides or boardwalk or anything. Just a beach. There's even a nude section. Been around, since day one of New Jersey. It's a tour, a vacation destination or more of a day trip.
It was actually the gateway to New York Harbor, and there's a very famous lighthouse that's there, and that is part of the our movie, because there is a serial killer on the loose, and six strippers have rented a house near the lighthouse during a hurricane. And, of course, there are murders that are taken. It's a slasher movie.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, as it turns out, someone reviewed the movie, had apparently gotten a hold of a copy that was in Russian. We did sell the Russian rights. And they were watching it as they took a train across England. And apparently they didn't quite understand the movie, maybe because it wasn't in English, or maybe it was just not something they could quickly comprehend riding on a train. Anyway, they posted a review, and apparently the review was posted on the day of the massacre in Aurora, Colorado, where the fellow went into the movie theater where Batman The Dark Knight was playing.
Right.
Okay, that's coincidence number one. I don't see much of a coincidence there myself, but be that as it may. Now, in that movie, and this you can see by just Googling Sandy Hook and Batman Dark Knight, there is apparently a scene, I say apparently, but it is there, I've seen the stills from the scene, where Batman and maybe some police officials are standing around a map. And on the map, the only words that you can see, and they are quite larger than any other little towns that might be on that particular map, is the words Sandy Hook. So, now, David Icke and Alex Jones, being of the conspiratorial bent, believe that the Illuminati or some globalist or secret society have actually planted clues in these various movies pointing to future events. Hmm. Right? And so they think that perhaps there are clues in the Sandy Hook Lingerie Party Massacre movie. I doubt that, but if anybody would like to go out and buy a copy of the video, I know, Rob, you're actually re-releasing it. It has a spectacular new cover, and it will be out in a couple of months. And I think there's still a few copies floating around on Amazon, if anybody's anxious to get it. Okay, so now, people have asked me, well, do I think that there's a conspiracy here, or do I think that the Illuminati is behind all these various unfortunate events that have taken place? Well, now, I know David Icke believes that they're all shapeshifters and evil aliens and so forth responsible for this, and David Icke and Alex Jones would believe that it was the globalists or secret societies or the Illuminati. And I say there is something indeed to coincidences and synchronicities, because I have had them all my life. I do believe that there is a control mechanism that is behind some of these things. However, I do not believe that it is the Illuminati or the Skull and Bones or anything of that nature. I just don't think that any worldly government, be it the Queen of England or Obama or the CIA, have the capability nor the necessity to do something like give us clues. Why would they want to do that? If they were behind these nefarious events, why would they want to go around and tell us what the next event is going to be? So that's where I draw the line here. I don't see any great government conspiracy here, or conspiracy by the Illuminati or any other hidden group of that nature. Although, going back in the annals of science fiction, if you remember the name Richard Shaver, he was very famous back in the mid 40s to the mid-1950s, he wrote stories about this group of beings called the Dero, who actually are said to live beneath the earth in a vast cavern system, and apparently through the use of ancient ray devices. Compare them perhaps to lasers of today. They are able to take control of the minds of humans on surface and cause all these dastardly deeds to happen. So there's always been an underlying feeling by some, now you could call it paranoia, but there's always been an underlying feeling. Even Charles Fort, the great writer of all the paranormal activities from hundreds of years ago, who spent most of his life in the library, said that we are like a chess game and that we are under the control of some cosmic beings. And the late John Keel kind of went along with this theory as well. So, yes, there are coincidences, and there are synchronicities that cannot be explained, but I think that there's something else involved here.
But isn't that just, can't you just attribute this to random chaos? You know, the chaos of just living.
Well, I suppose if you wanted to do that, you could do that, and certainly the majority of people who have not looked into this subject might go along with that idea that this is all just random. But I don't believe that it is random, or at least a lot of it is not random. And the reason for that is our experiences that I've had in my own life and my own career. Now, going back, here for example, when I was in the fourth grade, I had probably my first book review that I had to do. Well, I was not a big reader, but I did enjoy, even in those days, books on UFOs and such. I had had a sighting at the age of 10 of two unidentified objects hovering near my home in New Jersey. This got me on a quest to find out exactly what was going on, a quest that has lasted almost a half a century. I wrote a book review. The book was They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers. It was a book written by Gray Barker, a gentleman who lived in Clarksburg, West Virginia, and had investigated the encounter of fellow by the name of Albert K. Bender, who lived in Connecticut, who claimed that he was visited by three men in black because he had come too close to finding the solution to the flying saucer mystery, and they warned him to be quiet or else. It was a sinister threat. All right, so I thoroughly enjoyed the book. It sent chills up my spine. I don't think that there's really another UFO book quite like that, and the late Gray Barker was quite a writer. I mean, he really had a way to use spin words. He's just like most people in the UFO field, and frankly, even in the paranormal, are not great writers. They're not going to set your hair on end, you know.
And you've published most of them, so you would know this.
Well, now this is where the synchronicity comes in. Okay, so I got a B+ on that book review, which is only like a page. You know, I think I have it somewhere here. It was written in red ink on a lined notebook paper. And I got a B+, which was, for me, was a really good grade. Well, little did I know that within 10 years, I would have my first book published. Who was it published by? But by Gray Barker. Gray and I became fairly good friends, and when he passed away, I bought a lot of books from his estate, including the last 50 copies of They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers. So you can say, well, that's just a coincidence. That's the way things go. But I could give you here a list of about 25 coincidences, that synchronicities, that are beyond the pale. Let's take, for example, and this is one of my favorite ones. Back, I would say, it was probably maybe about 20, 22 years old. I was invited to speak to a UFO group in San Francisco. I had never been to San Francisco before. And, hey, these guys are paying my way there and putting me up for a couple of days. So, sure, I'm going to grab the opportunity. Especially, you know, when you're young, And in those days, you enjoy traveling. It's not like it is quite today, you know, where they push you into a seat and you got to stand in the line for an apple and all that. You know. So I enjoy traveling. I still do to this day, to a certain degree. So I get out to San Francisco, and we had quite an audience. This was the day before, you know, cable TV and all. So people for a dollar a pop would come out and see somebody that was perhaps on a radio show the night before. You know, we covered the local circuit there and got interviewed in the newspaper. And so I probably had 250, 300 people. I even remember there were people up in the balcony. Okay, so I was out there for 2 days, and Sunday was my departure date. But the flight, I think, was out of San Francisco probably late in the afternoon, about 4:30, 5 o'clock. So we had some time to kill. We decided, well, let's go have brunch and show Tim Beckley. Was it Cobble Hill up there in San Francisco? You know, everything's a hill in San Francisco. But it's quite a city, you know, the trolleys and the whole bit. So we pick a restaurant at random. Nobody from our group, and I guess there was about maybe five or six people there, the promoter and his wife and some friends. I had certainly never been there before. So we sit down and we order our Bloody Marys and omelets. And just as idle chatter, I happen to say, to my associates there, I said, geez, you know, I should have thought this out more closely because there are some people here that I know in San Francisco that I would have liked to invite to my lecture. I happened to mention a fellow by the name of Alan Vaughn. Alan Vaughn was one of our teachers when I was running the New York School of Occult Arts and Sciences in the early 1970s. And he was a character. We enjoyed sharing a beer or two and laughing, and he was a serious parapsychologist, however. In fact, he was the editor. The reason he moved to San Francisco, he took over the helm of a magazine called Psychic. This was a very prestigious, a very professionally laid out magazine, all in color, glossy paper, with a more of a scientific bent than, say, Fate or anything else you would find on the newsstand today, if you could find anything on the newsstand, if there were a newsstand. Anyway, I mentioned about how, geez, Alan was a good friend of mine. I wish I had his phone number so that I could call him and have invited him, which I didn't do. Well, 5 minutes later, the front door of the little cafe that we are eating in opens, and a gentleman walks through the door with his little puppy on a leash. And I look at him, and I said, Jesus, that looks like Alan Vaughn. And the guy looks at me, and I look at him, and it was Alan Vaughn. So, of course, we invite him over, and we had a good chuckle about this. I said, Alan, you come in here often? He said, I've never been in here in my life. Something just drew me to come into this restaurant. And I told him about how we were just having a discussion, and his name had come up. And, of course, he, you know, took that, I guess, more granted than most people would. And my next question was, I said, well, Alan, what are you working on these days? He said, well, I'm working on a book on synchronicity, and I guess I have to use this in the book. So it's a little paperback book. I know it was published, like I say, 35 years ago. You can still find it around. It probably was published for 75 cents in those days. And I think it's case 17 in the book where he devotes a half a page to it. So this has happened over and over and over to me. I used to go down to South Beach a lot.
Tim, hold on one second, Tim. Let me back up to the I want to finish on the Sandy Hook, Batman, Dark Knight connection.
Yes.
You don't see the synchronicity, because I've seen people have made YouTube videos taking clips from your film.
Yes, they have.
Putting in clips of the aftermath of this school shooting and kind of combining them, where they're screaming from the movie, underneath.
Well, but what movie is Debbie Rashan in that she isn't screaming?
Well, exactly, but my point is you don't see any connection, because I don't really, I think it's a real stretch.
I think it is a stretch, but I also, as well. No, I think it's interesting that Sandy Hook is in the Batman movie on the map.
That's weird, because why would Christopher Nolan, the director, is not from New Jersey. Now, if it was
but there are, now this is, I did a little bit of research, which some of these other fellows I don't think bothered to do. There are 7 Sandy Hooks in North America. 2 of them are in Canada, 5 are in the United States. Apparently, the Sandy Hook in Connecticut, where this terrible incident took place, was settled around the same time as the Sandy Hook in New Jersey. Okay, and they both maybe have a lighthouse, and they both are entrances to the harbor, and so forth, and so on.
You know,
one of the other Sandy Hooks is in Missouri, and I forget, frankly, where the other couple are.
All right, okay. So you'd have to know who made that map for the film. Did the director have approval on it? Did he not care what was on it? So maybe the person, the set designer or the map designer, was from one of these places and just paid an homage to somewhere they went to as a kid. You don't really know. So
yes, well, you don't. Okay. Now, my feeling on this is that there is a synchronicities here, but they are uncontrollable and they are not planted by the Queen of England or the Illuminati. You know, these people who are seeing this as some big evil incident by Big Brother are using it to promote their anti-gun control platform. I mean, that's the way I see it, frankly. You know, they're even saying that this was a whole stage incident, that there really was no mass murder, these children were not killed, that these were all actors who came out and took part in a preconceived press conference. I don't buy that at all. However, if you're interested in it, there's a program that a friend of mine is the host of, Ground Zero, Clyde Lewis. And he has either done a whole show on this or is preparing a show on it. I'm not quite sure. But you can find him on the Internet, and the program is there if you're interested in pursuing
That show is actually now playing in New York on an AM station every night.
Well, yes, they are now on the same syndicate as Coast to Coast. And I've been on Clyde's show many times. We usually talk about Nazi UFOs because I think that the crash at Roswell and some of these other UFO escapades, especially in the early days, were of Earth-made UFOs or flying discs, because the government did not want their citizens to know that they bought over all these Nazi scientists and engineers as part of Project Paperclip. So even though they didn't like to promote the idea that the flying saucers were real, if you had to believe in flying saucers, better believe that they're from outer space.
Right,
so
now,
I think that there was this conspiracy to cover up the fact that a lot of these incidences, perhaps even the crash at Roswell, if there was one, was of some German-made craft.
All right, hold on to that for a second. If these people who are conspiracy minded, or maybe like the David Icke, they would say, in relation to your film, both your film and the Dark Knight film, that you don't even know you're doing this. Like, you were planting this evidence for them, and it was controlled, you know, there's some Zeus somewhere making you do this. You don't even realize that the synchronicity is happening. You have no control over it. You're not part of the plot, but you are a pawn in the plot.
Okay. Well, now, I might go along with that to some degree, but I don't think that is any earthly government or secret society that is doing it.
No, but then it goes into an interdimensional thing, correct?
That it does, and I am more prone to believe that. I believe that the intelligence behind the UFOs is a random intelligence, the intelligence behind this are either from another dimension or from some other secret, breakaway civilization or something to that degree. And I do think that they have the ability to, to show us of the reality, but they can't come out and talk to us and speak to us like if we were an astronaut and we landed on the moon or Mars and there was a colony of people there, right? So I think that there are several ways that they show themselves to us. One would be through things like crop circles. There have been a lot of incidences where people have picked up mysterious voices coming over their telephone, over their ham radio receivers, and even on television.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I also believe that they use synchronicity to show us that they exist. Now, why they are doing this, or even if they know that they are doing this, is really hard to say. I mean, this is just something that I've come up with over the years after having all these things, happen to me, these synchronicities, and there are dozens and dozens of them. And I've also found out that there are a lot of people in the UFO and paranormal field that seem to have a higher degree of synchronicity and coincidence in their life than probably the average person. Now, here's a really strange case. Jackie Gleason, of course, very famous as a band leader and a comedian and star of the Honeymooners on television. He was also had the largest, probably private collection of books on UFOs and the paranormal, which is part of the University of Miami. In fact, it's, you can go down there and study it. A couple of my books are even in there because he ordered them from me. Anyway, Jackie Gleason passed away on June 24th. June 24th is very famous in the annals of UFO history. It is the day that the first sighting, modern sighting of what we would call a flying saucer took place. A civilian pilot by the name of Kenneth Arnold was flying near Mount Rainier in Washington State when he saw 9 gleaming objects in the distance. Okay? So people in the field know of this date. Now, several important people have passed away on June 24th, Jackie Gleason being one of those. Another fellow by the name of Frank Edwards. Frank Edwards probably wrote the most popular book ever written sales-wise on flying saucers called Flying Saucers, Serious Business. He was a radio news reporter who was on nightly, and he had an interest in flying saucers in the early days, like in the late 40s, the 1950s, and broadcast news about sightings and reports. In fact, he was actually fired from his job because he refused to keep quiet.
Tim, Frank Edwards. Tim, hold on 1 second, Tim. Can I open it up for some calls? You can continue this story, but let me just, because we're running, our hour's coming.
All right, I do want to finish this because there's a real hook here. Okay, not only did Frank Edwards and Jackie Gleason die on June 24th, but Frank Edwards' publisher, Lyle Stewart, died on June 24th. Now, here's the kicker, okay? Kenneth Arnold's sighting was on June 24th. If you ask Kenneth Arnold what he thought that the flying saucers were, he did not believe that they were from another planet. He's always thought of as like a nuts and bolts guy and a pilot, so he must have thought that they were extraterrestrial. He didn't. He thought that they were craft that were here, living creatures of some sort. They were actually here to carry the souls of the departed over to the next world. So isn't that bizarre that these three people would die on June 24th, the same date as his historic sighting, and he believed that they were here to cart the souls over.
I've heard that before. That's semi-popular, that theory. They're picking it up from him, of course.
Mm-hmm. Can I throw one thing in about back to the Santa?
Yeah, let me just see if anybody wants to call in. 310-928-7857. You talk to Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO, Mr. Creepo. Give us your calls and we'll try to get you in. Go ahead, Mr. Ree.
Just about the Sandy Hook thing, and specifically about the map in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
I read this on the internet, so of course it's 100% true.
Yes.
Guaranteed. A guy named Scott Getzinger was the prop master, so he was probably responsible for the map.
Or at least possibly, oversaw the creation of it.
Number one is he apparently did live in Newtown, Connecticut, near Sandy Hook at one point.
Oh, okay.
And also, about 2 weeks ago, he was killed in an automobile accident.
Isn't that always the way?
That's always the way. So
there's your synchronicity again.
It's confirmed. I'm confirming it right now because I read it.
I understand you read it, but I'm saying, is it confirmed that he actually did live in Newton? I mean, it's probably, public record that he died.
Yeah, but you know, guys know something? When I look at this map, I don't see, I guess I'm just not paying attention, but I've watched the movie 600 times, and I'm just not seeing that name on there. I see they're pointing to a map. I don't really see the name. I mean, I think it's, you'd have to zoom in on it and all kinds of crazy crap.
Well, they did. It has been zoomed in on and magnified gosh knows how many times.
God forbid someone just grabs a map where they were filming, you know.
I think also there's another angle.
In other words, this was the name Sandy Hook on that map is 10 times larger than any other little town that might have been mentioned and is invisible to the eye because they're so small.
Of course, at the same time, here in Kansas City, like with the maps we have locally that have the surrounding areas, have the same kind of thing. The smaller towns are very small. The bigger towns have these bigger, like, bold names. That's the way it is on my map.
Yeah, no, this one you could tell, I believe, by looking at the stills, that this was added on there. Now, whether it was added on perhaps by some conspiracy buff later on, I don't know. I'm sure that they would say that it was not. But the name Sandy Hook is on the map, and it is 10 times larger than anything else that might be on the map.
I just want everyone to watch the movie.
I have to admit, I have not seen the movie. I'm not a big Batman fan. I'm not a big comic book collector, and so I can't really tell you what significance the name had, if any, in the movie itself.
I didn't even notice it in the movie. I kept looking and looking and looking and rewinding, and it's not the same. Yeah.
Well, I also read that they used that map in one of the earlier movies, probably Dark Knight Returns, or Dark Knight, excuse me, Dark Knight. The second one. But there's a different name in place of Sandy Hook.
Oh.
Something else that begins with an S and an H. Huh. So the conspiracy angle to this is that somebody changed it along the line, between the two movies. They changed it to Sandy Hook.
And that is it's not a warning, or it's some kind of precursor that, you know, about the Sandy Hook massacre, but also, you know, it's happening in this movie where there was a massacre associated with it. So it's kind of like the next, you know, if this was to happen, it's projecting the next kill.
Listen, Batman would have went over there and whooped somebody's butt.
I'll get out of here.
I don't quite understand. I mean, there's a lot of this I don't understand. But I guess I don't understand why. Why
well,
would
Tim
they be
said
putting
it
these?
Yeah, Tim said it earlier. What gain mm-hmm. would it be if somebody's showing you their cards?
Well, now, if you are to believe Alex Jones and David Icke, the reason is it's a boast. It's to show everybody that they can get away with it. Who they are would be the Illuminati. That they are in control of us. They are our masters.
And also that these films are conditioning for these type of things.
We
talked about this on the show before, like Hunger Games is conditioning us to accept child sacrifice. And then Sandy Hook is that playing out, and now we've accepted it.
Well, you know, Rob, I gave you a copy of a film that we have been selling over the years. It's on the synchronicities of 666 in Hollywood movies.
That's right.
And the people who put this together, which seem to be some evangelical group who have disappeared into the woodwork many, many years ago, the film is quite well done, and there are many dozens of incidences where 666 does appear in these movies where they probably shouldn't be, or maybe they should be, I don't know, but that's quite a film, and so I guess there are implants in movies. I mean, there have been for years. That's nothing really new. I suppose the people that work on films kind of want to get a chuckle. They'll see it on the screen. I think, isn't there a Walt Disney movie where there's a naked person in a window for a second or something?
Right, and there's a Little Mermaid. There's like some kind of phallic symbols.
Yeah. And so the symbols in the movie are not quite anything new. Now, if anybody would like to read up seriously on synchronicities and coincidences to find out what might be going on, I suggest that they Google the name Dr. John C. Lilly. Now, John C. Lilly invented the deprivation tank, the flotation tank. Yep. He also wrote a book called Eye of the Cyclone, and he had any number of synchronicities in his life. In fact, he believed that there was actually an organization that he called ECHO, E-C-C-O, which stood for Earth Synchronicity Control Office, that these would be these interdimensional beings that we cannot see under normal circumstances, but they are able to show themselves in very many peculiar ways. And he actually believed that there were two of these organizations, unseen organizations. One was benevolent, and one was just the opposite. And he went through life having these experiences on a pretty much regular basis. Now, some people might want to poo-poo his experiences because he was also known for his experimentation with ketamine.
Yes.
Ketamine being a very powerful and I would say fairly dangerous animal tranquilizer. And Dr. Lilly, who was a real scientist and so forth, he also claimed that he spoke with dolphins and with extraterrestrials. So now there are people, shamans and all, who apparently do have the ability to communicate with other realms and other dimensions, why they are pie-eyed.
Yes.
And Dr. Lilly might have been one of those.
No.
He did, acknowledge the existence of this organization, and I go along with it. I think that these synchronicities and coincidences are more than that, that there is some controlling factor. But I don't think it's like somebody setting up at a typewriter, see, and knocking this out and saying this is what's going to happen to Tim Beckley today, or this is what's going to happen to Todd or to
but
Rob.
But if you get off track, they're there. It's like the film with Matt Damon, The Adjustment Bureau, if anyone's seen
that. That's correct.
But
I do not believe it is the Illuminati or the Queen of England behind this.
You were talking about the synchronicity of dates earlier, and July 20th was the date of the Aurora massacre, and it was also the date of the alleged Apollo 11 moon landing.
Mm.
Aha. Mm. And the surface of the moon is sandy.
Jeez. Okay, and then let us not forget the big disaster here along the East Coast that is also sandy.
Hurricane Sandy, exactly.
That's correct. Okay, so again...
There's a hurricane in your movie.
And there's a hurricane in the movie.
Right.
Well, now, I never... Okay, you're absolutely... Well, darn it. Darn it, darn it, darn it. David Icke is right again.
Tim, I think it's time to come clean, Tim.
Yeah.
You're in on this.
Yeah, Tim.
We know it.
You're a lizard. We know it. That's why we called you on the show tonight.
And the lights are blinking out on and off in the apartment, and the heat just went off. But
yeah.
but that's not that unusual.
Tim, if you run Sandy Hook Lingerie Party Massacre through an anagram generator, as if you didn't know this, you get tragedy, school, arise, map, in, NY. And then there's a few letters left over, but whatever. But if you run Lingerie Party by itself through, it's an anagram for reptilian.
Well, I think we should do a Lingerie Party Massacre number 2.
This is bizarre. The phones are lighting up now after you say seriously. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah. Reptilian Gray. Come on.
Ike, Reptilian Gray. Maybe Ike is behind this whole thing. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
It's scary.
Through the looking glass, people.
Huh.
So there are different conspiracies about these two massacres. I mean, there's... It almost mirrors the variations on the 9/11 conspiracies. I mean, some people believe
that's correct.
At all. Some people believe that it happened, but the government did
it.
There's all kinds of different angles. I mean, to be honest, I'm happy that I don't know any of the families who were affected by this. But you know, if I did, I would be so pissed. It would be such a personal thing that anybody was suggesting that these kids weren't really there, that everybody was an actor, that all this stuff. I mean,
it's one thing to say yes, those kids were there, they were real kids, and they were killed, but it was a false flag operation or some blah blah blah. That's one
thing.
You can say whatever you want. Say the kids didn't even exist. Like they said, there were no one on the 9/11 planes. They were robot planes.
Hey, Todd, you had a fellow on the show one night who made some pretty outlandish claims. About actors being involved in this. I can't remember the exact scenario, but do you remember the program?
I do. Well, I do.
And what was your take on that?
My take was, I just don't agree. You know, I mean, it's okay to disagree on it. I just don't agree. I don't think actors are, you know, sitting around trying to do some terrible thing to people. They're just trying to work like the rest of us, man. I know so many of them that I know. It's more about working. You know, if they're worried about anything, it's about paying the bill.
These aren't actors who are looking for work, and they happen to, because, you know, the problem with conspiracy is
and you know darn well someone would spill the beans sooner or later, unless everybody in the movie...
Best with one or two people, conspiracy. You can't have actors off of, Craigslist or, some kind of resume stream coming in, and you're hiring them to pretend you're a police officer. What they're saying is that there are these groups that are run by the government of actors that come in and stage these things over and over again. So it's these are actually like you call operatives or even CIA members. These are trained, yeah. Dupes. They're in on it. It's not like, oh yeah, come here and pretend. Like there's no way you're going to get 300 people to come pretend the Sandy Hook happened. It's not going to happen. They're going to go talk. They're going to go get money and talk to a newspaper or a TV show.
I think one of the fathers had a SAG card is really what it boiled down to.
That's what it boiled down to, yeah. And they saw it was clearly acting. Look at him. He laughed. The one father, before he came out, he laughed at something. Mm. They said, look, he wasn't even upset that his kid was killed.
Right.
Because he never had a kid.
Right.
So this is great.
Stuff. So for the record, Tim, what do you think about these two incidents? Do you think they're just completely unrelated, or do you think there's
anything? Well, again, if there is this synchronicity control board, there could be something to the synchronicities, but I don't think that they're planned as such. They would be it's hard to even explain because we don't know what kind of intelligence. Maybe they're time travelers. I mean, it's possible that there are some beings that are coming back here through time and have some knowledge of these events and could plant some of this information, perhaps warning us. I mean, that's a more positive slant to it if we're going to look at, this all as part of some grand, conspiracy. But, there are also even certain places that seem to draw this energy or this force to that particular area. One of them is the town of Sedona, Arizona. Usually I spend about a week there in the summertime, because it's a very beautiful place to visit. Okay, well, now also, 2012, of course, which we just passed through without any great particular incident. Sedona would have been one of the places where many New Agers and people that are into meditation and yoga would converge on that date, and I'm sure that they did.
Hello.
Sorry, Tim, our Skype is freaking out.
It's pretty much gone, plus we're pretty much out of time.
Is Tim gone?
Tim's gone. I don't know what happened. Oh. He's going to, bye.
Sorry. We're sorry, Tim. It was great having him on, though.
Fantastic.
We'll have to call him and tell him what happened.
This feels like a date that ended, like, because of a shooting or something. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like we pulled out of our embrace.
You don't think this is a coincidence, do you, Rob?
Is it a coincidence?
Oh, come on. Wake up.
He started to, like, bubble out. Did you hear that?
Yeah, he was getting too close to the truth.
This is kind of scary, man.
Yeah.
I think we should just wrap it up, come back next week, start over. We'll talk about, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Cannibal Apocalypse, or Holocaust.
Something else, yeah.
Something else very light,
something
and tame.
Sure.
Yeah. None of this conspiracy, kind of like interdimensional stuff, because something happened to Tim.
Yeah, we were just kidding, guys. We don't...
We're not on to you. We don't know nothing about this stuff. You nailed it when you said Obama was behind the whole thing.
Did I say that?
You did.
There you go, gentlemen.
You don't know you said it, but you said it. Okay, it's been a Movies Hate You show. Movies Hate You at gmail.com. Mr. Reilly Peterson.